الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما، وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما. اللهم لا تجعل فينا ولا من بيننا شقيا ولا محروما. صلى الله سبحانه وتعالى to make this majlis a majlis ilm. I've gathered here to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and al-dar al-akhirah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yu'allimana ma yanfa'ana wa an yanfa'ana bima allamana wa an yazidna ilma. These majalis, this is what we call it, from the gardens of Jannah, gardens of the gardens of Jannah, where those who gather and sit together to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this majlis the majlis that once we leave it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins and increase the knowledge inshaAllah and the understanding of our beautiful deen. We'll still continue with our book inshaAllah, Sharh al-Sunnah. And we mentioned yesterday that two things cannot meet in the heart of a believer, which are Bid'ah and Sunnah, innovations and Sunnah. They cannot be in one somebody's heart. It has to be one of the other. It's either the Sunnah is filling the heart, or it is the Bid'ah that is filling the heart. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. Amen. We'll continue to where we stopped yesterday, inshallah, and we'll proceed, inshallah.
I think they had included the linguistic innovation and described it to be good. Innovations in the linguistic sense are allowed, such as building of schools and colleges for students of knowledge, and printing and copies of the Quran, and putting dots and signs on its alphabets, and the like. They were called good innovations.
Can you hear him, all of you? Can you hear?
Yes.
Okay, sure.
But these are not innovations in the technical usage of the word in the Sharia, but rather supplements to the Sunnah and revival of the Sunnah.
Sunnah.
Yeah. So building schools and colleges for students of knowledge, printing the Quran and putting dots in it, all of these are consolidations of knowledge. They are good and are from the Sunnah. So they either took the Sunan and called them innovations, or referred to customary matters as innovations, whereas they are not included in the matters of the religion. This is because they are from the worldly matters. They are therefore not included in the religion. He is saying, and misguidance and its people will be in the fire as contained in the ahadith. Every misguidance will go to the fire, as well as the hadith of the ummah will be divided into sects. This ummah will be divided into 73 sects. All of them will be in the all of them will go to the fire except one. This proof that the people of innovations will be in the fire, but they vary. Some will be in the hell due to their disbelief, while others will be in hell due to their sin. Some of them will abide in hell forever, while some will not. Their judgment will be the judgment of those who committed major sins.
Okay, conclusion here. It is known that the ummah is going to be split. This is a fact. True or not?
Mm-hmm.
True. To how many sects?
73.
How many are in Jahannam?
72.
That shows you the seriousness of this division of the ummah, because of what?
Bidah.
Because of lack the understanding of the sunnah. And if you ignore the sunnah, which leads you to success, then you become one of those parts of the 72 sects that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in his hadith. And those, the saved ones, as we mentioned this hadith, course, in the previous pages, قال ما أنا عليه وأصحابي. If you remember from the hadith that we mentioned before, those saved sect, those who followed the sunnah of the Prophet and his ashab. So you cannot find someone say, I want to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah and I want to ignore the sunnah of such and such and such and such. I don't believe in Abu Bakr. I don't believe in Abu Umar. I don't believe in Ali or something like this in this matter. But I love Rasulullah and I love Allah and I love Rasuluh. This kind of words from a mouth that blow poison, deadly poison, to those who give them their ears. Understand? So you don't find this in a true believer. The true believer, يحب من يحبهم الله ورسوله. And Allah, does he love the companions of the Prophet? Where do you see that? رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه. So if you fear Allah, then you love those who Allah loves and His Messenger. Make sense? Continue inshallah with number 6, which is do not tolerate any form of innovations, even if considered small. Don't take things lightly. Don't take things negligence, and don't take things without knowledge and blame it on I did not know. Here, قال المؤلف, I want to read, and then because you think if I read, do you know what to read in English? If I read in Arabic, do you know what I'm reading?
Yes,
you can? Okay. قال المؤلف رحمه الله.
The author said,
واحذر صغار المحدثات من الأمور.
Beware of little newly invented matters.
فإن صغار البدع تعود حتى تصير كبارا.
Because small innovations will add up till it becomes big.
وكذلك كل بدعة أحدثت في هذه الأمة كان أولها صغيرا يشبه الحق.
So this was the case with every innovation introduced in this ummah. At the beginning, it was small, looking like the truth.
فاغتر بذلك من دخل فيها ثم لم يستطع الخروج منها.
Then the one entered into it was deceived by it, and then was unable to come out of it.
فعظمت وصارت دينا يدان بها فخالف الصراط المستقيم فخرج من الإسلام.
So it became big and taken as a religion through which worship is made. So he contradicted the straight way and thus went out of the fold of Islam.
So you've seen those who make visitation to the graves. Slowly they looked at the visitation of the graves permitted by the Prophet, which is true. The Prophet in the hadith said, قَالَ أَلَا إِنِّي كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ أَلَا فَزُورُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُ الْآخِرَةِ. Before, I told you not to visit the graveyard, but now I'm telling you, visit the graveyard because it reminds you of al-akhirah. So those who took this hadith, they start visiting the graves, and from visiting the graves, they remember the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith, just show you the jahl and the ignorance, that he passed by the two graves. Do you remember those two graves? The Prophet ﷺ said, who knows the residence of these graves, or those who are buried in these graves? قالوا يا رسول الله أناس ماتوا في الجاهلية. Those who died in the جاهلية. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا إنهما لا يعذبان وما يعذبان في كبير. Did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم knows what is in the graves? Can the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم hear the people of the graves?
Yes.
But he's saying here إنهما يعذبان. So that means he's hearing the عذاب. Is that general? Only for that case. The Prophet ﷺ passed to many graves and he never heard anybody being punished. But for this, the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala awha ilayhi. He gave him from the wahi, from the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulih, for him to hear the punishment. They are maybe screaming, maybe they are crying, maybe they are begging. Sound that sounds scary. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if I know that لولا أن تدافنوا you will never bury each other لدعوت الله أن يسمعكم من في القبور. He will make dua that Allah will make us hear the sound of those who are in the graves who are being of course punished. And what is the result? He said you will not bury each other because fearing what is under the ground. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he put two branches near the graves. قال لعل الله يخفف عنهما ما لم ييبس. From his rahmah he put these two branches. He said maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease their punishment as long as they're green. People went and they took from this understanding of this, they start planting trees and flowers. Go to the Firdaus. They have incense and they have all kind of stuff and dozen of roses and three. Man, I'm looking at every grave is like $12. So I'm counting. Well, I'm fundraising it for me. You know how much money we're spending, money and incense, and some of them do they put extra expensive marbles around the graves. Waste. لا أنزل الله بها من سلطان. يا شيخ, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرنا. So they start taking the hadith and changing. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us to make the to line up the grave and make sure to yes, قدر الشبر and without any extravagance. So now they put the marbles because someone introduced it, right? And people listened. Wasn't it the case? And then those incense and flowers, somebody introduced it and others followed. And then becomes after that they start planting flowers and trees around the graves because somebody introduced it and others followed. And not only that, they start making, I don't know if you have it in your countries, but they start surrounding the grave with some kind of nice golden fence. And they said, هذا الشهيد. This is the shaheed. How do you know the shaheed? How do you know he's shaheed? And then not only this, they made it. So did the Prophet ﷺ made the graves of Shuhada Uhud distinguished? They buried him next to each other, and even if there is more than one, قَدَّمَهُمْ أَوَّلَهُمْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. He will bury more than one in one grave, true or not? And he will make the first, the one who has more Qur'an, he will put him on the first. And then everything behind. Can you imagine this? These are Shuhada. And they're not, when they buried, the only thing is you can see is just the place of the little stones. And these are As-Siyad al-Jannah. They are the masters of Jannah without any distinguished features. So where we come up with these? Somebody introduced it and then others followed. Not only this, then now they start going to visit. And after that they go and to this place, they said, oh, there is a wali here who came to Africa or who came to our country, introduced Islam to us. Make sure to protect this grave. And even know who's in that grave. Immediately the government and the word of mouth start coming out. Salih, Wali. And everyone start coming and start putting some surroundings around it. Metals and guards. And then before you know it, whoa, we need to touch it. Maybe something, this Wali, this Awliya Allah, touch. And before you know it, they are coming there and making dua. Ya Rab, Ya Rab. And with Ya Rab, introduce this Wali. Ya Rab wa Ya Fulan. See how slowly, dragging you slowly. Ya Rab wa Ya Fulan, Ya Rab Ya Fulan. And then before you know it, you go into the grave and making tawaf. Well, you know, you go around it and you want to go to every corner of the graves and touch it and somebody introduce it and others followed. Become something light and becomes part of the deen and he cannot get out of it, what he said. So it became big and taken as a religion
through which worship is made. So he contradicted the straight way and thus went away out of the fold of Islam.
Commentary.
He's saying, beware of little newly invented matters. He's saying, do not tolerate any form of innovation, even if it is small, because it will become big and others will follow it.
Here, stop. We know the Prophet ﷺ told us about the Shuhada. We know al-Mabtoon, wal-Ghariq, and those who give birth. And those who die fi sabilillah, and those who die under the homes and their homes being collapsed on them, al-hadm, mat'oon, which is the one who died in the plague. But even though that we know the Prophet said that they're shuhada, we cannot come and guarantee they are shuhada, because this is something the Prophet said. But we say nahtasibuhum 'inda Allahi min ash-shuhada. We ask Allah to accept them among the shuhada. But is this dua make them guaranteed shuhada? Not. Illa birahmatillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore we cannot say certain things, even though we know it is, and we don't have anything firm except by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Therefore, do not be lenient concerning it by saying, this is a small innovation and does not harm. Innovation is like ember. Even if it is small, it will become big till it burns the house or store or the entire city. In this respect, a poem reads, most fires are from underestimated sparks.
وَمُعْظَمْ النَّارْ مِنْ مُسْتَصْغَرِ الشَّرَرْ, meaning the small sparks can make those flames, you know, like in Africa, I'm saying, in California, and all these blaze, it comes with a little lightning, right? Lightning, we see it every day.
Or a cigarette.
And becomes unbearable, and the last behind it is something beyond anybody's imagination. As far as money or acres of land being burned just like that, and the money has been spent on it to put it out, who controls it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't look at things, meaning here, do not look at the sins or the innovations, doesn't matter how little it is, because it becomes what? Something big, and you should identify, be ready to identify the innovation and to stop it. And if you cannot stop it, to warn from it and to stay away from it. But if you get close to it, it will get you to it. Make sense?
There should not be any negligence in it. Rather, the door of innovations should be completely closed. The door of innovations should be completely closed. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of newly invented matters.
This is al-halaq. You know al-halaq? The shaving. If we want to lose our deen, add more innovations. And this is, by the way, this is the target of the enemy of Islam. They cannot change the deen of Islam because they know it is solid. They tried to alter the Quran. They failed because بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيُّنَاتٍ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. These are آيات محكمات في صدور in the hearts of those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the tawfiq to have it, and it's not easy to be altered. So therefore, they introduce you these waves after waves of little things called innovations. But they don't call it innovations. They call it, we try to modernize Islam. Islam came to the time of the Sahaba. And when you mention something to someone, and this is happening in this masjid, and give them the example of Umar and Abu Bakr, they said, Ya Sheikh, this happened during the time of Khilafah, we are not doing the time of Khilafah. Then the answer came from someone. He said, well then, therefore we shouldn't have to wear the hijab and just go out with bikinis, walk in the streets just like in, you know, everywhere else. So it is modernized. Everybody here going without clothes, right? So as might as well do the same thing. So these little things and little comments, it has become the cancer that will kill this ummah if you do not stop it. At least warn from it and educate. And this, the main purpose of this class is to educate the public about what is innovations, what is the bid'ah, and what is the opposite of bid'ah is the sunnah, and which is every Muslim wa Muslimah should abide by.
The word iyyakum, that is, you should be aware, is an absolute warning against all innovations, regardless of whether they are small or big. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not exempt anything from innovations. His prohibition is general with regards to all innovations. And he said, the worst of all affairs are the newly invented matters. He's saying, this was the case with every innovation introduced in this ummah. at the beginning of it was small, looking like the truth. Then the one who entered into it was deceived by it, and then was unable to come out of it. The first fitna, trial, tribulation, that occurred in this ummah was a result of being careless about the people of corruption, till they spread mischief on the face of the earth, brainwashed the youth and common people, and filled it with evil. Then the trials occurred in Islam, and among the Muslims, as it is well known. The reason for all of this was overlooking and leaving the people of evil till the matter became aggravated. Therefore, it is a must to be strict and resolute and block the door in regard to this matter. Nothing protects one from innovations after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except beneficial knowledge. But someone who is without any knowledge will be carried away with the innovations and will think that they are good because he does not know innovation.
So how can we stop innovation? Number one,
knowledge.
Sunnah. The knowledge of Sunnah. The knowledge of Sunnah, that's how you stop innovation. And how? What makes you fall into the bid'ah, the innovation? The lack of knowledge of the Sunnah. And what is the duty for those who understand the Sunnah is to teach it. And those who understand the newly invented matters is to stop it and warn from it. Right? Understand? So the job is that the deen of Islam is a journey that's going to be met with so many challenges ahead of us. Changes and additions and introduction and introducing to us new things that may be new to you, but what is the thing once you've been introduced to something new? What do you do? Verify to whom? فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know, refer to Allah and His Messenger. SubhanAllah, the deen is very simple. If you don't find it there, leave it away. No, get a Sahaba. If it's not in fi kitabillah, and it's not in ma' rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it definitely is not with the Sahaba. Is it going to be with the Sahaba? It's not in the book? Of course not. Hashallah. Do you remember the man who came to the Prophet, asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a question? Then he took the answer of the Prophet. He did not like it. So he went to Abu Bakr, and he asked Abu Bakr the same question, and Abu Bakr gave him the answer of the Prophet. Then the man said, okay, let me go to Umar. You don't know those who are trying to find for a fatwa to suit you? I'm trying to do this, something is not halal. I want to get myself into this business, and this business is haram. But my job is to find me a way. I heard a scholar in Juzur al-Waq al-Waq, in the island of the birds, somewhere. And he said, this halal. Allahu Akbar, I'm going to go with this. Inshallah, it is halal. And if you go there and try to find who is this Sheikh and Alim, you have no profile for him whatsoever. He could be a Mickey Mouse. And you just saying, alhamdulillah, I hear the alim saying it, and you follow. Brothers, go, Uncle Google, it does not you get you. Uncle Google is not your, he's not going to save you in the day of judgment. Uncle Google, you only use it after you know what to look in Uncle Google. Uncle Google is open for everybody. And if your heart is with Uncle Google, then idhab ma Uncle Google. But our heart is with ulama. الربانيين, those scholars whose heart attached with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any what? Return. قل لا أسألكم عليه من أجر إن أجري إلا على رب العالمين. They're not here for to form a group, a sect. Their manhaj is certain thing, and we believe in, we love all the Muslims, but this is our manhaj, we have to follow this. Is this from the Islam?
No.
Muslims should be having the same agenda. If Muslims have different agenda, there's something wrong. What is our agenda? To serve the deen of Allah on the understanding from the Quran and the Sunnah was Salaf al-Salih. When I say Salaf al-Salih, those who came after, doesn't tell me, Sheikh, are you Salafi? You want to tell you Salaf al-Salih? As-salaf, the word as-salaf, you cannot mark it. As-salaf, it takes all of those who followed, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ, those who followed them in the right way, those salaf. But don't say salaf means you are a sect, consider you salafi, and this is becomes a Shi'i, and this becomes this, and this becomes Wahhabi, and this أَخْفَرُكَ رَبِّ وَتُوبَ لَهِ. Their umbrella is one, their agenda is one, their goal is one, and they love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. This is the dua of the believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from them. Amen. Continue tomorrow, inshallah. Subhanak Allah bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.